And one of the things that, you know, I wanted to just kind of tie in here today a little bit is just talking about where God is concerned. God always speaks from a place of something that exists. He never talks about, you know, do you ever think about this, that when Jesus was born in this earth, that wasn't his beginning? He always existed. Do you ever think about that? Sometimes people say, well, he was born that. No, he was, Revelation 13, it says he was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So before this earth ever existed, he existed. And so sometimes it'll help us, because when he was born was just the manifestation of him in a body that had been what? Decreed for hundreds of years. Hundreds and hundreds of years it had been decreed. And so all of a sudden came the manifestation. And so God always spoke from a place of be. In other words, it's going to be, it's going to come to pass. It was written in the scriptures, this shall be, this shall come to pass. And so it's no different than, you know, when we look at these things in scripture, when God says, your body is healed, well, you know, you end up looking at your body and you go, well, it doesn't look like it. But he speaks from a place of what? A place of something that's been settled, where healing has already been paid for and settled, and your faith in what he's spoken causes it to come into manifestation. No different when he spoke about Jesus and he began to speak in Genesis, where he said, you know, that you shall bruise the serpent's head. Right there, he's beginning to speak about something where his seed is going to come and break what? Break the power, break the lordship of the devil. And then we began to see it prophesied through scripture. And then it finally came into manifestation. But it already was. So God always speaks as though something were. You see? And so we need to do the same thing. My identification in Christ, when we talk about walking in the Spirit, walking in the light, you know, so often we think we have to work something up to do something. He's already placed us in Christ. And so what does that mean? That means that I have to do what? Believe what he spoke about me through Paul. It's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. Doesn't matter how I feel. Doesn't matter what my mind may be thinking at the moment. It's about what he said about me. He said that I'm redeemed, that his blood has redeemed me, and that I'm a brand new person in Christ. Doesn't matter what people say about you, think about you, call you. It's about what he has said about you, and do I agree with that? So for us as Christians, this world is getting darker and darker, and we better, as this world gets darker and darker, we better take hold of what he has said about us. Because first of all, in your own ability, your own power, your own strength, you can't walk as a Christian without his help. It's his ability. Isn't that the truth? When it says Galatians 2:20, it says Christ hath, I'm sorry, Galatians 2:20, for it's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, how? I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave his life for me. So I can't live this life without him. And it's no different in life. You can't live this Christian life. You can't walk in love. You can't walk in peace. You can't walk in joy. You can't walk in kindness. You can't do it without him, without his power. And it's the power of the Holy Ghost activated in us. It's his life activated in us that empowers us to do that. That's so relaxing, isn't it? So no matter what pressure comes, no matter what stuff happens in life, I can lean back and look on the inside, because that's what 1 John 4:4 it says. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. So when I'm running up against something that's greater than me, there's nothing greater than him. And all I have to do is say, yep, greater is he that's in me. Ha, ha, ha. And just laugh. And just laugh. And you begin to laugh at the devil and say, he can't overcome me because the greater one's in me. Greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. And I hope that registers with you, because this season is a wonderful season where, you know, people want to show love. This is a you know, what we call the Advent season. You know, the Advent season really started, it's really the last week of November through the Christmas, so maybe the fourth week of December. And all of that is wonderful, and folks get itchy this time. You know what I mean? They get pushy and so forth. But we can walk in the love of God. And we can walk in peace. And I can tell you, this theme of walking in the light or walking in the Spirit, one of the things that keeps ringing inside of me or keep becoming more aware is that, yes, in Colossians, the first chapter, it says that we've been delivered from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. But what you do with that revelation is something else. So God, through his prophets and apostles, and here this is the Apostle Paul, received this revelation, but some folks have to take hold of that revelation and do what? Walk in it so that it becomes a reality. So we go, oh, isn't that great? I'm delivered, but I'm sure dealing with all of this stuff in this earth. And people are dealing with things. I may not be you, maybe everything's good with you. But there may be people you know that are dealing with things. And the devil, 2 Corinthians 4:4, it says how the god of this world, Satan, who is the god of this world, hath blinded the minds of what? Of them that are lost, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine in. So it's no different. We're not lost, but you could be blinded to the truth of something and not walk in the fullness of it. You understand my point in that? You could think, well, I know this, and not pursue more or a greater revelation of something. How do you do that? You meditate upon that truth. And the more you feed upon it, the greater revelation, the greater insight you will get into something. And that's why I say we could reach a certain plateau and get caught up in life and not grow. Does everybody understand that? Or pursue. In other words, walking in this life, walking in the Spirit, or the life in the Spirit, is something just like natural growth. It's expanding. So just like a child doesn't, you know, what would you think of a child that thought, hey, I'm great, I've reached everything, and they're 25. And you'd say, grow up. There's more to life, my brother or sister. There's more to life. You better get out there and find out. And it's the same thing. God is watching us. There's more to this Christian life than just, as we said, coming to church on Sunday or spending the time that we have with the Lord. There's more. We can never reach the depths of the revelation. We can never reach. We may think, oh my God, I've reached it. No, you haven't. If you think you have, you what does Isaiah say? He said, his thoughts, you think you got thoughts, you think you've reached it. He said, his thoughts are higher than your thoughts, his ways are higher than your ways. So if you can think it, you haven't reached it. You can think it, you haven't gotten there yet. So for us, I mean, walking in the Spirit and life in the Spirit, there's more. And I think that's all that, you know, Reverend Kevin was sharing, kind of swing back, is that sometimes we've got to let go of things. If we're going to press towards something, we're going to have to let go of some things, even great experiences we're going to have to let go of. Because you might think, I'll never top that. You know, that experience. You know, I hear it all the time. Oh my gosh, do we hear it? I sang with the choir for years. And all I hear is, oh, I wish we could go back to them days. Not me. I mean, they were wonderful days. I enjoyed them. I loved them. They were marvelous days of singing with the choir and concerts and all. It was marvelous. But if you think that that's it, you've missed it. You've missed it. And you're holding on to some idea that you have. And it's just, it's foolery. Because you will never advance. You keep holding on. It's like, keep looking at the rear view. Oh, yeah. Oh. Huh? Yeah, Lot's wife, right. Exactly, Lot's wife, right. Right. Yeah, exactly. We don't want to be Lot's wife. Yeah. But you understand the point. I mean, just wonderful experiences in God that we've had. But God had a purpose in all of that. And let's not get stuck there with whatever that purpose was that God had. God has another, he has purposes for this church to fulfill. And not only here, but in Nanuet, and he's looking for those who say, okay, Lord, I'll do what you want. I'll make myself available. And that's really what he's looking for. He's looking because it's going to take people. It's going to take resources, people, you know, and time and all of that. It's coming. You know, sometimes I'll wake up and you know, these thoughts come flooding through and you go, you know, I remember probably in the mid-90s, you know, the Lord began to speak to me about calling in something into the ministry, and I'm thinking, what do we need that for? You know, brilliant, right? And so it's almost like somebody could say they got a revelation. You know, just think about it. My response, what do we need that for? That could be the type of response that the prophets gave when the Holy Ghost, because the Holy Ghost rested upon the prophets in the Old Testament. Can you imagine if one of them said, what do we need Jesus for? Because they weren't given the insight or the plan, and they began to prophesy some things and write it down, and they'd say, what do we need that for? They never, you know, is that foolishness? You don't know everything. So if he reveals something to you, write it down, document it, and decree it. Because he's looking for individuals who will listen, obey, and decree. See, there was something I wrote down, something that Reverend Ann Durant shared. I'll get to that in a moment. But she said something which I thought was a very good point. She said, if you have a poor self-image, then it's because you have a self-image. Then she stopped and said it again. If you have a poor self-image, it's because you have a self-image. There is no self in him. It's no longer I or self that lives, but it's he that lives in me. So you can't have a bad self-image. I thought it was a point well taken. So if you have if you keep looking at yourself, then you're not looking at him. You're not looking at who you are in him. Right? And that to me is part of the whole theme of walking in the Spirit, walking in this life, walking in the light. That means your image has to be such as it was in this earth, as he walked, so should we walk. What does it say in Ephesians 5:1? It says, be therefore what? Imitators of God, dear children. And then what else does it say? Walk in what? Why don't you turn over there? Ephesians 5:1. Since I'm not getting a response, let's read it from the King James. Ephesians 5:1, it says, be therefore followers of God as dear children. Let's look at this in the New Living. It says, imitate God, therefore, in everything you do. So that means you can't have, if you're imitating him, you can't have a poor self-image, can you? In the Passion Translation, it says, be imitators of God in everything you do, for then you will represent your Father as his beloved sons and daughters. So we're to be imitators. But I'm just going to turn over here a moment to James. This is Jesus' brother's book here. And I believe I want to look at chapter... King James. Let me just turn over here. Oops. In the wrong book. Yeah, in chapter 1 and verse 26. Let's back up to verse 22. James 1, 22. James chapter 1 and verse, starting in verse 22. And I'll read this from the King James. It says, but be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass, for he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall not be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, what does it deceive? Your heart, your own heart deceives your heart. This man's religion is in vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and keep himself unspotted from the world. This word deceive, you know, most of us know what that means. But if you look it up, there's an old definition of it or an old word that's used to deceive, which I thought was very interesting. It means to cheat. Interesting, isn't it? What that means, if you look at it in the context of this, when you're just to hear only, then we deceive ourselves or our heart. So as a believer, we are to walk in the Spirit, to walk in the light. We are to believe what God has said and say so. Say who you are in Christ. Say, this is who I am. Not what I feel, what I think. This is what God says I am. So if you don't believe and speak that, then your believing is just believing. It's in vain. You deceive your own heart. Or think about this, what this word means. Deceive also means to cheat. What does that mean? You are cheating your heart, its ability to do what it was designed to do. You're cheating your heart, the ability to speak, to believe and speak. And you're putting, it's back to what Reverend Annie was sharing at the Life in the Spirit conference. We're designed to believe and to speak. But so often we let our mind to be in control, and we let our mind be in control rather than our heart. And our heart is being cheated from being in control. And this is what they were sharing through the whole week. Let this heart connect with God. Let your heart connect with God, not just believe and say a bunch of words. No, I'm connected with God, and I'm speaking things that I believe out of my heart, not my head. I'm not letting my head dominate my heart. I'm not cheating my heart. I'm not deceiving my heart. Everybody understand that? So you can deceive your heart or cheat your heart, and it was made. In other words, you're cheating your heart from what? From operating the way it was designed or made to operate. It was made to believe and to speak. And so the same thing when it comes to walking this spirit-led life, this is the life that we live. In other words, we're connected with God, and God leads us by his spirit, not through our head. He leads us through our heart, and our heart will bear witness. This is the right way to go. This is not the right way to go. He may speak to us in our heart. We may have an unsettled feeling about something. That's how he leads us. But don't let your head say, oh no, we can't do that. That's not right. We can't do that. That's the wrong way to go. What is your heart saying? If you keep leaning to your understanding, if you keep leaning to your mind, it's going to be hard to be led by the Spirit of God. And that's what was shared the entire week. And letting our heart have the ascendancy, letting this heart lead us. Getting quiet sometimes and hearing the Lord, getting direction from him is what he wants to do for us in every detail of our lives. And I think this is what, you know, what is so exciting to me, and I wanted to just share this, John 8 and verse 12, John chapter 8 and verse 12, it says, then Jesus spake unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And the Passion Translation says, I am the light to the world, and those who embrace me will experience life-giving light, and they will never walk in darkness. You see, never walk in darkness. What does that mean? You're going to know what to do. That means you're not going to bump around in life. Ephesians 5:8. In the King James, it says, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now," what does it say? "Now. Now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light." Now, Paul, by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, wouldn't tell us to do something if we weren't able to do it. When he says, walk in the light, walk as children of the light, then that means we have the ability to do that. How? With his help, with his assistance. This in the Passion Translation, it says, "Once your life was full of sin's darkness, but now you have the very light of our Lord shining through you because of your union with him. Your mission is to live as children flooded with his revelation light." So our mission is to live as his children, flooded with revelation light. That means if we're flooded with that, that means we always have to be either in a place or we have to make time so that we can hear the word, feed upon it, so that we're flooded with it. The entrance of his word brings light. So it's taking time in our busy schedules to hear the word, to be somewhere where we're hearing the word of God. Amen. And then 1 John 1:7, it says, "But if you walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." In the Passion Translation, I like this, "But if we keep living in the pure light that surrounds him, we share unbroken fellowship with one another." See, if we walk in the light, we're sharing unbroken fellowship with one another. "And the blood of Jesus, his Son, continually cleanses us from all sin." So you see, walking in the Spirit is this life here of walking in union with God in his Son, staying connected, walking in his pure light. Well, if you're walking in that light, that pure light, that means you're walking in love. That means if I'm walking in love, then I have fellowship one another, and the blood of Jesus continually cleanses us. So that means the devil can't get in and get a foothold, can he? Because that means if he gets in and we miss it somewhere, we fix it. That's walking in the Spirit. That's walking in the light. So you fix it. And this is why the devil hates unity. Because when there's unity among the brethren, there's unity in a church, and God can get some things accomplished. There's no strife. There's no division, right? I'm not saying, I'm just saying in general, this is what the scripture shows us. And you can just turn around and look at the bickering and fighting that goes on. You know, the devil will find something that will try to spark division in the church. And we can go back over the last couple of years. You can see politics was used, race was used. Now you have money and finances can make, you know, anxiousness for folks. And so we need to do what? Walk in love, forgive people, and walk, and it says, walk in the light that he is. Walk in the light. I like the way the Passion says it. It says, walk living, if we keep living in the pure light that surrounds him. Hallelujah. We share unbroken fellowship with one another. Yeah. Now, you know, it was something I was sharing with Minister Joe, a lesson by Bob Yandian and Tony Cook on relationships. And they were just sharing about, you know, just relationships in general. But I thought it was interesting how he said, even the Apostle Paul, he said there were different types of relationships that the Apostle Paul had. And he said, even Paul wrote to his son in the faith, Timothy, and said, beware of Alexander the coppersmith, because he's done me much harm. And if you read it in others, other translations, it said, he opposed us in every way. So even Paul, who had a revelation of the love of God and operated in it in 1 Corinthians 13, didn't walk around with his, you know, and saying, oh, I just believe the best of Alexander, you know, and we're not going to. No, he said, he has done us much harm. Just beware of him. And so I think there are some times in things that God will direct us to that there are different kinds of relationships, and that's all he was pointing out. There are some where he talked about Barnabas and John Mark. And he said that type of relationship, just, you know, it was he didn't oppose him. They just had odds with one another, and they separated. But he didn't oppose the teaching. He traveled with him. He supported it. But Alexander did. He said they did him much harm. A little different. Does everybody understand? So sometimes, In a church setting, when we're walking in the Spirit, we need to stay in fellowship with one another. But I'm saying, in general, it doesn't happen hardly ever. But if somebody comes into a church setting to create strife and to oppose what you teach, you know, it's like Bob Yenning said, he said, well, maybe this isn't the church fellowship for you. You know, maybe you need to pray and be somewhere else, because if you don't stop, we may need to ask you to leave. Because you're creating a problem. You see? So that's all we're saying, is that as much as lieth within us, walk in the love of God. Walk in the Spirit. Yeah, it's Romans 12:18. That's what he was sharing. Yeah. Yeah, I'll look that up. Yeah. But that's you know, one of the things as we go through this season, and as we embark on a new year, God is going to be enhancing or accelerating the things that we do. And, you know, just like in any sports, you don't get ready. You know, you don't say, okay, it's time to get ready. No, it's too late. If you're getting ready to go into a playoff or to be used in a certain capacity or a way, you don't say, okay, now it's time to get ready. No, we should have been getting ready all along to be used. Then we're ready. You see? And I think that's where we are. God has been speaking through a number of channels and individuals, And just like Reverend Kevin, I'm swinging back to this again. God is speaking through all of these prophecies that God is about ready to unfold and do some things in our midst that is the greatest. I know one, it was, I write all the things that the Lord speaks me, but this was a number of years ago. I was waking up at, I don't know, 2 or 3 in the morning, and I just heard the Holy Ghost say, the best days are yet ahead. The best days. And sometimes you think, well, I thought I had the best days. He said, no, the best days are yet ahead. And I believe that. I do. I believe it, and I believe the prophecies that have been spoken over this ministry and each one of us individually, and we're all going to have a part to play, you know, in whatever capacity. You know, sometimes we will say, well, I'm too young or I'm too old. You're nowhere in there, I see in the scripture where God has some type of limitation on who gets involved. He'll use whoever is willing. Whoever is willing, he will use. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So as we kind of wrap up this year, it's, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do? And it may be just a little thing, but, you know, it's the little things that we're obedient with that get us to the next thing, right? And the bigger things. Yeah. I remember Dr. Price, I'll close with this saying, he was, if you go back and listen to that prophecy, I've played it here, when in 1990, and it was our 10th anniversary, and I remember running sound in Nanuet, and you know, it was a wonderful time. And he was sharing, and he got up and started sharing. And the next thing you know, he's speaking in tongues, and he had a word for the church. But leading up to that, he was making this comment. He said, I kept asking the Lord, why can't I have this? Why can't I do this? Why can't I have more? And he said, the Holy Ghost said to him, because you'd kill all the sheep. He said, you're not mature enough yet. You're not ready. And then he looked over and he said, and that's the same with these pastors here. He was talking to Clinton and Sarah. He said, they're not ready. He said, they're only in first gear. And we saw that over the years. They grew and they matured. And they were able to handle the increase. And sometimes, this is what I'm saying, God wants us to get ready. And that means everything. It means you're walking in love. That means maturing. You know, what did Paul say in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 11? He said, when I was a child, I spoke like a child. I understood like a child. I thought like a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. So if we're thinking and speaking and talking like a child, maybe we're not ready yet to be used of God in a greater capacity. So we need to do what? Put them away. And that's what he's really saying to me. He's saying, look, get yourself ready for the increase. Do a self-examination. Examine yourself. Are you ready? If I doubled everything up, would you be ready? You know, how many here heard the prophecy that Brother Copeland gave Pastor Sarah? This was when she was alive, years ago. I'll read part of it. I usually carry them. But one of the things in that, I'll just pull it up here. Just pull this up here. Yeah, there it is. This was in Philadelphia, 2003. That's 19 years ago? So he said this to her. He said, now I'm just reading a portion of this. Now be very cautious and be careful about even your words that you speak on a daily basis, even at moments when you're lighthearted. Be very careful about the words that you speak, because I'm turning up the volume of the anointing power on your words, and they will work, and like Samuel of old, from this point on, I will not allow your words to fall to the ground. They will enter into the atmosphere of the Spirit, and there they will work until the time of the end, when the books are closed and we begin something anew, saith the Lord. I'm just pointing that out, that God at that point was doing something in her life and said through that prophetic word, watch your words. I'm doing something. I'm increasing the anointing upon your life, so you need to watch your words. That's what I'm talking about. That along with increase, you know, one of the things that the Durants were impressed to do when they were here was to lay hands upon us and decree double the wisdom, double that the founders had, double the wisdom, double the anointing. Well, you've got to believe that, and that just like the word spoken to Pastor Sarah, you have to look at, okay, with that wisdom and with that comes an increase to do what? Oversee whatever the increase is that God is sending and building. And so one has to be mindful of how they're thinking, how they're acting, how they're conducting themselves with their mouth, and not just to deceive themselves, like what we were sharing this morning. Don't cheat or deceive your heart into just believing, but you got to speak. So the same thing, if God spoke something in your life, don't just say, yeah, I believe that, but you say, this is who I am. This is what God has called me to be. This is who I am. Does everybody understand that? I am. And so if he didn't specifically call you, you still have the word of God that I am anointed. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I am the healed. I am the well. And you have those affirmations that God has spoken. Praise God. Amen. Look, glory to God.